Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Monday, the 21st of April. For those who celebrated the Easter holiday, I hope you had a lovely holiday. And it's a delight to be back. Thank you very much, Raymond.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Hang on. We're playing musical chairs here.
That's all right.
Nice to see you two sitting next to each other.
Oh. Yeah. Nice to have you here, Alan. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. And welcome. We have a lot to talk about. Let me introduce our panel to you. First and foremost, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. He has arrived. Perhaps you heard it. Good morning, Alan.
How do you do?
Thank you. Also, this is where Alan says that's how he says that when he doesn't like you. Political consultant Libby Post is
here.
I'd
like you. Maybe I was doing something else and things got convoluted.
He was doing his Henry Higgins imitation.
How do you do?
Good morning, Libby. How are you? Thank you for filling in so many days last week. I appreciate it.
I did fill in many days yesterday. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
It felt like it was yesterday.
And Ray Graff, again, thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
All right, so let's talk about what is happening in the world, and there is a lot happening. I must say that since I was away, I'm not. If I'm going over on issues that you've already discussed, please let me know. But I tried to look and see that we weren't, duplicated.
Treading the same old
ground. That's right, exactly.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, Joe, just I thought while you're doing that, I could mention that we won big time the best of the Metroland Readers survey, in all of the sort of radio categories except the really dumb one.
What's a really dumb one?
I don't know. Yakking on
right,
I don't know.
Right wing.
What is your best? No, I really don't remember. But there was one. But we won all of the good stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
That was what month was that? Like two Thursdays ago?
Two weeks ago.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome.
Well, the only reason I'm raising that, even though you point out that it was 2 weeks ago, is that I just saw it.
He just got his copy.
Yeah.
Was on his desk this morning.
I just saw it.
Get it in the mail, do you?
No, I get it in the other building. They drop off 7,500 copies
over there,
and they're always kept there. And then I just picked.
Well, there was a group. We had an email that saying congratulations.
Oh, did we?
I may have thought it was from you. Actually,
with my mind, it may have been.
Well, he had one of his people do it.
Yeah. Anyway,
people talk to your people.
Let's go to the serious issues, of course, which is what's happening in Ukraine. A city in eastern Ukraine controlled by pro-Russian militants descended into a deeper spiral of murky violence, is the word that the New York Times uses on Monday after two bodies were reportedly pulled from a river. The report came a day after at least three people died in a shootout at a checkpoint. An international observer mission with the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe was unable to enter the city for reasons that were still not clear. Russia agreed to the observer mission at Germany's insistence, and the group's inability to reach the area made it all the more difficult to determine why law and order was unraveling in the area. So those are the two issues we'll discuss, one being the law and order unraveling, and also with a law and order unraveling, you have to wonder exactly what is happening, of why there is such an effort to keep
observers
coming in to see what's going on.
Mm. The terrible tragedy, the great race in Boston is on today, several people died, more than two, in the great bombing. And here they pull, and it's a terrible thing. There's no two ways about it. But here they pull two people out of the muck, and everybody says, that's just a couple of people. But think about what a death does to a family, it's horrible. It's really horrible.
Well, we've been seeing it for so much lately between the Korean ferry going down, the Malaysian flight going down. Not having any answers, the death that's happening there, the death that's happening in other places. And you can't help but, one would hope, you can't help but feel for these people, even if they're very far away and they're not related to you in any way. But you see these people and you see the anguish, and I think we can all relate in some way.
Yeah, no question about it. The answer to Joe's problem that he has given us to sort of solve here in terms of analyzing this is you'd have to be able to be in Putin's brain, you know, to fully understand how much of this is baloney and how much of this is real.
Because I read this yesterday and I thought, gee, all he needs to do is step in. And then I thought, oh, that's the rational part of my brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then thinking, no, if he steps in, it creates a whole nother thing. But, you know, somebody's got to step in. Joe Biden's there now, but somebody has to step in do the right thing.
Yeah. Libby, we're supposed to believe, of course, that these people are off doing their own thing. These are renegades who are not listening
to Putin
at all. But we have experience up to now knowing full well that he's pushing the chessmen.
Right.
There will be people who write in right now because we've been seeing them again and again. And they will say, you know, we're pushing chessmen, you know, also. But the fact is, stability is very important to you.
So why do we go through, and I don't, this is going to come out as harshly cynical, and I don't mean it to be, but I just ask the overall question, because as you just indicated, Alan, we see this time and time and time again. And that is, why do we sign agreements to de-escalate violence, to foster peace? You go together in Geneva, you agree to some sort of concessions, and then we have something like this.
As opposed to what? In other words, you have to pursue peace. You have to get the Israelis and the Arabs to try to come to some kind of an agreement. Sometimes it's impossible, and it doesn't happen. But as I say, as opposed to what? You mean walk away from the whole thing, wash your hands, and say, I'm not going to try to bring some resolution to this? Just one last thing here. We have a lot of force here. The Russian stock market is going on. There's stuff going down. There's stuff behind the scenes happening in which clearly we have a leaked story to the New York Times this weekend about how Putin, how the president has decided to, the hell with Putin. I'm going to pursue other agendas and I'm not going to waste my time on this guy. That is a shot of... That's as Ray and I often say, that's a shot.
Yeah,
and believe me, it was done for a reason, that leak.
But if you're going to go and you're going to say, okay, whether Ukraine, Russia, U.S., the EU, come together and say, all right, we're gonna look at this. And as you indicated a few moments ago, but these are not just renegade people. This is obviously there's more at work here. So then I mean, how can you even? It doesn't seem like it's any great question mark as to who's behind it, right?
No, I think there are renegades all over the place. There are people, how many peace marches was I on in the old days in which somebody came in and even though the crowd was respectful and good, there was always somebody who wanted to cause a certain amount of trouble.
It was probably a plant, an FBI plant.
Well, it depends because different groups have different agendas. And there are people who want to radicalize the peace movement, for example, in the old days, or the civil rights movement. And that's why they had all the marshals, and that's why the people were there. So it is possible, Joe, to answer your question, that there are people with different agendas who want to keep this thing going. And it's one of the problems you saw in the Irish Peace Accords, in which, there were people who were basically making a living, making war. And then it took, all these great people over there, people of goodwill, to make this thing happen.
So I'm not challenging your notion. I'm just asking.
Please challenge it.
No, I'm not challenging it. But because I just want, what I'm asking is, so do you believe that when Russia and Ukraine sign on to this, they have the best intentions for the ceasefire to be solid?
The answer is, and everybody out there knows it, who knows? But I mean, we really don't know.
Yeah. No, we don't know. But the thing is this. There's still this, within diplomacy, within that whole headset, there's still the notion of a nation state. There's still the notion that rational people can sit down and negotiate and talk about these issues and come to some realization or some kind of resolution. And if we abandon that, then all we have left is chaos. Yeah. And I think that we have to continue to have these conversations, even if people don't live up to them, because when we stop having these conversations, then we're really in a lot of trouble.
And there's always an external audience who is watching everything.
Right, and wanting to see what's happening.
And to some degree, what nation states and others do is responsive to the external audience. We have to at least show those people that we're doing something.
Right, because it sets a precedent, it sets an example for other smaller countries that are in their own mishigas, and thinking, okay.
That's a technical term, right?
Right, you do understand what that means, right? And so it's setting an example for them that, yes, you can sit down at a table and discuss these issues. You don't have to go to war. You don't have to let it devolve into regional factionalization and chaos.
And somebody's got to get blamed.
There always has to be that.
There always has to be the scapegoat. Yeah. Scapegoat.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and talk about other issues, including the elections in Afghanistan. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, and your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org when we return.
Support comes from Sundog Cider at Sulacqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples. Unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com. Plastic and reconstructive surgery at Berkshire Health Systems. Plastic, reconstructive, and hand surgery and laser skin treatments by Dr. Rodrigo Santamarina. BerkshireHealthSystems.org/plastics. The Research Foundation for SUNY, working to translate SUNY research into invention, entrepreneurship, economic growth, and public benefit. rfsuny.org. And Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities. Open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable discussion and our panel group this morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. With half of the votes counted in the Afghan presidential race, the candidate Abdullah widened his lead, but a runoff seemed likely between the top two contenders, according to data released Sunday by the Independent Election Commission. Mr. Abdullah, the runner-up to President Hamid Karzai in the 2009 elections, had received 44.4% of the vote so far, followed by Ashraf Ghani, a former World Bank economist and a Karzai advisor, with 33.2%. My immediate reaction to this is we knew this from the very beginning of how long it was going to take to count the votes and to find out. And I guess this is par for the course. But it seems difficult, although I guess we're no better at this of running an election, are we?
Well,
we get our results a little faster.
Well.
And hopefully they're right.
Most of our stuff isn't delivered by mule.
Right. I mean, the infrastructure there is... a bit to be desired. I mean, if the vote was on April 5th and they still haven't finished counting and rallying, getting all the numbers together.
You know what they used to say about Chicago? They waited until they needed to see how many votes they needed.
Right.
How many he needed. So, to me, I can't make heads or tails of the whole thing, but I can tell you this. The United States does really, I've never seen anything quite like it, have a thing with Karzai. They really hate him. And because he won't sign the agreement. And the agreement, of course, says the United States has the right to sort of come in and clean up if something goes wrong. And
we put him there.
Well, yes. And he's not the first person we've ever put anywhere, like Osama bin Laden and some of the other guys who we helped, at least, when in their formula of times. So, to me, I keep searching all the news columns to try to figure out who's Karzai's guy, and I can't figure it out. The United States seems to think, and the BBC this morning, as you know, I listen to the BBC very early, starting at 3:30, the BBC is making much out of the, you know, the number of complaints that have been issued about voter fraud.
Some 1,000 that are deemed serious enough to.
Right, but it was less than last time. So then, really,
which they said that's less than last time. Right. So that's better.
So there's really not that big of a problem.
Yeah, and more people turned out, and that was something. And it's going to be a little while. I think the main thing everybody's waiting for is to figure out whether the new guy will sign on the dotted line.
So, but you figure this is all going to be a very slow process, because if whatever happens, that they're expecting, their timeline is that by Thursday or Friday, they will have definitive results, and then at that point, the election commission will look at this and say that, okay, we've had these complaints about the vote count and voter fraud, and then what is being reported this morning is that a runoff is likely. So then you have to schedule that. You have to have the runoff, and then you go through the process again.
So what's going on now is an opportunity for coalition building. So in other words, if some third guy gets 30%, which I think is the case here, that he has to know where to spend his votes, and whether or not he has ties, which some people suspect, to Karzai. And so you better believe that there's a certain amount of negotiating, just as there are in a lot of other countries. The Italians were famous for it. The Israelis are famous for it, where the small religious parties go and determine what happens, and, you know, as all of this comes down. So
it's interesting who you were talking about who Karzai's guy is. I mean, Ashraf Ghani, who has 33.2%, is a Karzai advisor. There's Zalmay Rasool, who is a former foreign minister in Karzai's government. So there are many people within that structure who have ties to the Karzai government and administration.
So the real question is, what is it about Karzai that makes him think it is in his interest to tick off the United States and the EU and others? And that is, it seems to me, it goes right to the fact that many people who live in Afghanistan just don't like us, you know, and that he thinks, or something more nefarious that we really don't know about. So that's a possibility, right? I mean, we see it in politics right here. We see Danny Donahue, who is the last standing head of a major union, the CSEA, going out and calling Andrew Cuomo a monkey. Now, I know people within his organization. I know other people who say, why did he do that? Why did he tick off the governor during this time? But I now think we know the answer to that, because he's the last man standing. The other guys have all been, the teachers and the others have kicked their people out. And here's this guy who said something that seems to me to be outrageous, but worked for him.
The other thing too is with just getting back to Afghanistan for a moment of talking about we've been talking about the connection to the Karzai regime. So what does that say then about Abdullah, who is some 11 points ahead, and it's still considered to be too close to call?
Well, if you got a guy who's got 30, if you got a guy, bless you, if you got a guy who's got 30%. And you're 11 points ahead. Do the math.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
that's got to be frightening. Remember, he came in a close second last time.
Very close second.
44%.
Yeah.
Last time.
Right.
So now there are always people who are doomed to be bridesmaids. you know, and maybe if the system is rigged, then we can pretty well expect he's going to come in second again.
But you have to have 50%. That's the rule. You have to have 50% to avoid a runoff.
Yeah.
And the chances of that happening seems very slim at this point.
What? Of his getting 50%?
Yeah, of anybody getting 50%.
No,
because there's ultimately four people, right?
Yeah.
So, and then actually, that's not true. There were actually eight, I believe, right?
I think there were four remaining candidates got 5% of the vote. So
10, yeah.
There's a lot of shattering of the sharing of the vote count.
Well, I had a remarkable interview with the UN's top guy in Afghanistan, and who called for negotiations with the Taliban. And this is just this morning, and the inquisitor on Hard Talk said to him, but you also stand for the rights of women. So how can you stand for the rights of women and say that the Taliban should be included? And he said, you can go back and listen to this, because I almost drove off the road. He said, the Taliban is not the same Taliban that it used to be. Oh, really? I don't know that's the case, but I take it that if you don't include them in, they're going to keep blowing things up.
They're not included in this piece at all. There's no reference to them, and there's no reference to who's tied to them in terms of the candidates. So that was what was in my mind. Would you like to say something, Ray?
Would I?
Yes.
Well, no.
It's break time.
Yes,
oh.
And then
it's
you
news
can
time.
Think of what you want to say, and we'll be back right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. It's a cool, sunny day in New England for today's 118th running of the Boston Marathon. There's a heavy police presence, along with more than 100 security cameras dotting the streets of Boston for this year's race. It comes little more than a year after bombings near the finish line killed 3 people and wounded more than 260 others. NPR's Fred Bever is in Boston, where he says some people are still a little nervous.
Runners and spectators and volunteers are all determined to have a great time today, but there is some anxiety to be found amongst participants. I spoke to one volunteer who came from Pennsylvania with her husband, who's running in the race. She's needed to see a counselor to help her contend with her anxiety about what happened last year and whether it could happen again.
That's NPR's Fred Bever in Boston. About 36,000 people are taking part in today's marathon. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case with possible implications for Argentina's weak economy and its relations with the U.S. As NPR's Laura Seidel reports, the case may determine Argentina's ability to emerge from the shadow of its financial crisis.
In 2001, as large parts of Argentina's population struggled with poverty, the country defaulted on $80 billion in government bonds. Most creditors agreed to be paid less than they were owed. But hedge fund NML Capital purchased some of the debt. It wanted to be paid in full. It took Argentina to court in the U.S. So far, courts have ruled in NML's favor. But this may conflict with a U.S. law designed to protect foreign governments from being sued in U.S. courts, says Stephen Davidoff, a law professor at Ohio State University.
If we started enforcing judgments against other countries, they might do the same against us.
Today is the first of 2 cases before the Supreme Court, which will determine if Argentina should be protected from being sued. Laura Seidel, NPR News.
A survey of business economists in the U.S. suggests optimism heading into the second half of the year. Steve Beckner with Market News International reports.
The National Association for Business Economics President Jack Kleinhentz says his members report strong expectations for increased growth over the course of 2014. Kleinhentz, chief economist for the National Retail Federation, says growth continues at a majority of firms that participated in the survey, but with sales slackening, just a third report higher profits. A similar percentage expect to raise prices. Less than a third increase payrolls in the first quarter, but far more expect to boost hiring in the next 6 months. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
Vice President Biden has arrived in Ukraine for talks with the country's acting prime minister and the country's president. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com.
Support comes from Chandler's Restaurant, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, at Yankee Candle Village, offering lunch 7 days, candlelit dinners, wine cellar, full bar seating, and monthly wine tastings. Chandlers.yankeecandle.com. Catskill Hudson Bank, specializing in commercial loans for local businesses and organizations. 12 branches in the Hudson Valley, Catskills, and now Malta. Opening soon in Poughkeepsie. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. CatskillHudsonBank.com. The Blue Marble, a world of gifts, Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring goods from across the country and around the globe with a concentration on handcrafted, American-made, and fair trade items. TheBlueMarble.biz. And Capital Cities Imported Cars, Glenmont, New York, offering new and pre-owned BMWs and Volkswagens, serving the WAMC listening area since 1975. CapitalCitiesBMW.com. Support comes from Hudson Valley Community Services, presenting Dining Out for Life at 27 Hudson Valley restaurants to benefit local people living with HIV/AIDS. Wednesday, April 23rd, diningoutforlife.com/Hudson Valley. TSL, Time and Space Limited in Hudson, New York, screening Rithi Pond's film, The Missing Picture, using sculpted clay figurines and detailed dioramas to recreate life in Cambodia under Pol Pot, timeandspace.org. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, announcing an open house on May 8th from 1 to 5 p.m., offering a continuum of care and services for seniors, caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. And High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, now enrolling children ages 3 to 15 for Summer on the Meadow, week-long camps from June 23rd through August 1st. HighMeadowSchool.org.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion for this Monday morning. Libby Post, Ray Graff, and Alan Chartok in the studio. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Before we get into other topics, including the Boston Marathon, once again, taking off in Boston just about 36 minutes ago, getting underway, 1 year after the bombing last year, and we'll talk about that issue in just a moment. But first, we'll go to some letters. We have a few.
Okay, here we have one from Ronald. He says, he says a lot, and it's too long to read. But we hear from them all the time. Okay, blah blah blah. The Enlightenment notion that human beings are rational is, of course, patently wrong, and that's all I'm going to read.
Okay, I do want to point out that the blah 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 was what he wrote, not what you. That wasn't your comment.
No, that's what he wrote. He wrote blah, blah, blah.
I just wanted people to know that.
Yeah.
You know, to mean that you weren't.
It could be our theme song.
It was
poor little lambs who lost our way. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah. That's right.
Ellipse.
Yes. And then did you see the one? You got the other one?
Oh, no. The other one is from Men's 57. For your information, it has long been said by foreign affairs analysts and people in the Middle East who have observed Karzai over many years, the administration and State Department, that Karzai suffers from something like a bipolar disease.
Okay. Let us go back to the topics and talk about what is going on. And as I mentioned, we'll focus on the Boston Marathon for a moment. And Dan Shaughnessy, who is a very good sports writer and a great columnist for the Boston Globe, wrote a piece in the Sunday Boston Globe about saying there's a road race in Boston on Monday, an actual athletic competition. Thousands of athletes will compete to see who can cover 26.2 miles faster than anybody else. Remember when the Boston Marathon was just a foot race?
The marathon was quaint and charming in its early years, became somewhat corporate and commercialized in recent decades, but the special trappings of Boston assured that it remained uniquely ours. And it goes on to say, we were the only ones who acknowledged Patriots Day and found nothing odd about a Major League Baseball game starting annually at 11 a.m. on the third Monday of April. Everything, of course, has changed. This year, the Boston Marathon belongs to the world. It stands as a symbol of American freedom and a population refusing to cower to terrorism. And the Boston Marathon got underway. Governor Deval Patrick set the marathoners on their way just about 39 minutes ago. And I know you all talked a little bit about this and about the anniversary last week, but the actual event taking place today. And, it has to be, and I think I was struck by this piece because it just talks about how everything changed. And of course, it should. And it did. You'll never look at that event the same way again.
Yep.
And it kind of puts that whole, obviously, our relationship to terrorism and also our relationship to sporting events and bringing us together and the good and the bad. And there's a lot there.
There is. Raymond, you're the sort of sports guy here. What do you make of all this?
It's about a city that has persevered. It's Boston strong. But you look at the security today, and the security is very tight today. So 100 cameras lined up.
It would just take one idiot, though.
Absolutely. But it's like you'll never look at the New York City skyline the same.
No.
So this will never be the same, and that is, in fact, the big takeaway that terrorism does.
Sure.
It will never be the same.
Sure.
Is what it is. You move on.
Well, I mean, one of the things that occurs to me is that the worst part of terror are people who don't care if they die. I mean, how do you fight that? Somebody walks in, they've got a bomb, they're going to kill themselves for whatever misguided reason they may have. And we know it. Are we as a society willing to give up our cherished traditions in order to protect ourselves? I hope not.
And it's one of those things where you look at the security and, of course, the event of what happened last year, and you compare it and you look at the security that's on the scene now, and it's unprecedented. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It should be noted, however, that last year there was a lot of security.
Oh, yeah.
We know what we know because of the incredible security. And it's the world we live in. But as Alan indicated, I mean, even with all the security now, it still only takes one, and then you move on, and then you move to a new level. And you wonder at what point there is that give and take and where you. I think you're okay, Ray.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But just think of it, Joe. We have Macy Day parades or Thanksgiving Day parades, and nothing happens. So
yet.
Well, that's right. But it takes one.
Right. But we're not giving up our cherished things. Like, we're not giving up the Boston Marathon. We're just making it safer for people and doing our due diligence and increasing security. So something like this doesn't happen, although all you need is one nut job and things can happen again. But what I think this is about is our resilience, and that, yes, we will continue to do what we do. We will continue to celebrate our freedom and however people want to do that. The Boston Marathon is one of those celebrations. It's on Patriots Day. It means a lot for the people in Massachusetts. You know, it has a storied history. But we will also do it in a way that will keep people safe, and so we can continue to do it next year, so that this is really about not letting fear dictate our future.
But do you ever, and I would ask this of the other people on the panel, do you ever stop to think about where not to go based on, I mean, this is an honesty question, which means if you're dishonest about it, a lightning bolt comes out of the heavens and hits you in the head.
Okay.
So do you ever think about where not to go based on the probability that if some terrorist wanted to, make a point, that they would be likely to make it in that place you were considering.
Oh, absolutely.
Going.
Yes. I wouldn't go to the Olympics. I wouldn't go to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't go to see the ball drop in Times Square.
That's my number one on my all time mm-hmm. list.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I just and a lot of that has less to do with fear as much as it is. Well, I guess it is fear, but it's also, you know, it seems. I don't want to use the word unruly, but you have a lot of people with that are in a very confined mm-hmm. space, and these are also events that are on the world stage. The world is watching, and it is a perfect opportunity for someone to make a statement. Yeah. Now, with that said, nobody thought that a statement would be made on a beautiful day in September,
right?
In 2001, but they did. So who knows? But. You look at the Boston Marathon and you look at other events and you think, well, yeah, I would definitely avoid those just because I wouldn't feel comfortable and I wouldn't enjoy myself.
Well, and yet, on the other hand, there isn't a square foot of space watching the ball come down.
No,
right.
Yeah, the annoyance factor would keep me away from that one.
Well, that's right. Absolutely.
By the way, it always did.
Yeah.
In my case.
Yeah.
Even when I was growing
up. Well, when I heard that you couldn't move to go to the bathroom.
I didn't hear that.
No, you can't. Like, once you're there, you're there. You're corralled. So you're good in for a good 6, 7, 8 hours. I can't do that.
I have no comment on that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Thing is, I can't stand in one place for that long.
Well, right.
So.
Well, and you know, and okay, but there's that issue. But
yeah.
But look, the Super Bowl is another one. Any yeah. Olympic event, yeah. I would feel threatened at.
It's much more comfortable watching it from the comfort of your den in on a couch with refreshments and a lovely television.
Right.
You get a better view.
With the and also, and this is a side commentary, but you know, with the exception of the dropping of the ball in Times Square, the others, you know, the average American is priced right out anyway. So you're not going to any of those events unless you have $10,000.
What I find interesting, reading some of the comments to the story about the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
You know, some of them are like, world strong, rah-rah, a bit of a stretch, a symbol to the world, not quite. You know, it's interesting, and these are people who read the Globe. There's not a blanket, I don't think that there's a blanket rah-rah in Boston either. I think that's what we hear all the time, but,
yeah,
you know, it's just sort of interesting.
We are, let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue and talk about other issues. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and we'll be back right after this.
Support comes from KW Home, East Hampton, Massachusetts, offering home furnishings and interior design services featuring furniture, rugs, lighting, and window treatments, kwhome.net. Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, offering undergraduate and graduate programs in a range of health-related fields, acphs.edu. Baba Louie's Pizza, Pittsfield, Great Barrington, and Hudson, New York. Natural wood-fired pizzas, salads, vegan soups, sandwiches, pasta dishes, and gluten-free options, babalouiespizza.com. And Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, offering natural and organic beds, mattresses, futons, and pillows, made in the USA with cotton, wool, and natural latex, green-conscience.com.
I think most states, pretty much all states that have highways and throughways and byways have a easy pass type system. Easy pass, I think, is the largest of the
of the systems that are in place throughout the country.
Are they all connected in throughout the country?
They in some way, no, is the answer. But in Many our are. In our area,
yeah.
Whether New Jersey, I believe I read somewhere that you could drive from Maine to Florida with your Easy Pass.
Oh, interesting. Because so, I know that we had Fastlane in Massachusetts, but that's been changed to Easy Pass.
Yeah. Right. No, and they went in and sort of gobbled up some of the other entities that were there, and so it is one of the larger. I believe that there are other companies that do it, but they still honor
EasyPass. But EasyPass is a private enterprise? It's a private entity?
I believe, yes. It is run through.
It's a private contractor. Government.
Well, all I know I think the EasyPass police are after me.
Uh-oh.
Because I gave them permission to take a certain amount of money out of my account to keep replenishing it.
Sure.
Well, what happened was, and when I came in and told David Gustina this morning at a very early hour what had happened to me, he said, oh, yeah, we've gone through that too. So I'm assuming our listeners have. When my latest card came, it had a different expiration date on it, right?
So what card do you get?
What?
What card do you get?
Visa.
No, it's a credit card.
Oh, okay. I understand. Your credit card.
So you give them the credit card number, and it had a new expiration.
You got to go in to your account and update it.
Well,
what's
yes.
What's the big deal?
Well, I'll tell you what the big deal is.
You couldn't remember your password?
Yes. I'm an idiot.
All right.
Okay. So what happened was... What happened was I went through and said, account low, account low, account low, account low. I did my best. I called them up and I said, I got this problem. And they said, what's your PIN number? I said, I don't know. And then they said, too bad.
Right.
Okay. So now I'm dealing with bureaucracy in a Kafkaesque world of difficulty.
Well, they will mail it to you.
They will mail what to me?
They will mail you the PIN.
No, what? Yeah, but then I didn't do that either. I once tried to do that. So let's just say there's a lot of things you do in your life, and you know that was one more thing that I really screwed up with and didn't do. Okay, so I'm sorry, Joe, but that's just what being peripatetic is all about. I think.
Okay.
That's what the right word would be.
Fair enough.
Okay. And so what happened is I called them and they sent me a thing in the mail saying give us the correct expiration date. I did, but this morning, the light went on and said, your EasyPass is gone.
Oh, boy.
your EasyPass is no more. Now, I sit here and think this is worth discussion because I am sure that our audience, everybody who's out there, has had an EasyPass experience of one kind or another. And all I know is I called up this morning to get it all straightened out. Oh, and I went through twice. I said, I want to pay you because I can't. They said, no, you should have wrapped your EasyPass in aluminum foil, and therefore, that's right.
Because you tripped it anyway.
I put it in my pocket.
So you can't even pay cash.
No, you can't even pay cash, which leads to the fact that they charge you $50 for every illegal use you make of going through. So going home today.
Take the freebie.
I'm going to wrap it in aluminum foil.
And make the little hat, too.
Right.
I think he's already got one.
Yeah, right? Make that little hat. Yeah. You can put it in the hat.
Then
you'll be able to communicate with somebody.
But guess what? When I called up this morning at 8:30 when they should have opened, they told me, no, it's Patriots Day in Massachusetts, and we are closed.
That's what happened.
My sad story.
Well, this is almost like an Andy Rooney thing. This is pretty good.
You see, the thing is, Alan, just write down your PIN number. Because I take care of all of that online, and my credit card too expired, and I didn't realize it. And I just went in. I had my PIN number went in, and
well,
I changed it, and
you
everything
had
was
your PIN number.
Well,
you are such a goody two shoes.
Well, no, I will give you after we're done.
Goody two shoes.
I'll give you a pointer for your PIN number that will make it very easy to remember.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do it on the air.
But also,
I won't do it on the air.
But also, from my understanding,
Farfel.
And correct me,
falafel. Did you say
Farfel?
Farfel.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Libby. But I believe that the first time that they'll tell you that your card is nearing,
yes, they
send you a letter, and then they say, fill this out and tell us
I
what
did
the
that.
New thing is. Okay, and then if you don't have the PIN number at that point,
yeah.
then you check a box, and then they will send you, under separate cover, your PIN number.
That may be New York, but it was in Massachusetts, because they didn't say if you don't have the PIN number.
Yeah, because I know that then they will send you the PIN number, and then you just go in and change your account.
Okay.
I'm chasing.
Address the microphone, Mike.
If it's all EasyPass, if it's the same company that runs Massachusetts now, then what Joe says is probably true then, yeah?
No, I got the thing. I filled out the thing. It said, what's the new expiration date? Send it in. But I sent it in on Tuesday of last week, and by this morning, too bad.
Similar to healthcare, while we all love Obamacare, it's not transferable. So, as we have found out now that our son has left Massachusetts and is at UC Santa Cruz, he can't take the health insurance he got in Massachusetts with him. But I think it's all run through the DMVs. So no, it's not.
It is. You don't go to
corporate EasyPass.
Yeah, no,
you go to the DMV in Massachusetts and New York, wherever
New York
else.
You are so smart, Libby. Even though you are, and I have to say this, just a little bit condescending about, I have my EasyPass PIN number and you don't.
Well, there is that. Just think, Alan, it's like one of the only things I can say.
You say a lot. Are you kidding? And all valuable.
So okay. So I thought we were going to go with the EasyPass story from today.
Yeah, and it's connected in a way.
Because it is.
Alan,
I thought we were just talking
Alan
about it.
To the hip bone.
Well, for those people who go through the EasyPass lanes, they're the ones that where you actually
fast
go
lanes
through the toll booth, and there's those that sort of hover over, and you can go at a reduced speed, and they clock you. Right?
Well, there's ones you can go 55, 60, and they clock you, which is the one as you're coming, going onto a bridge or coming off of a bridge downstate. It's like that. And I also think by Stewart Airport, that exchange, the I-84 exchange is like that.
So according to Thruway officials and the New York State Transportation Department, over the past 5 years, toll evaders in New York have failed to pay a total of $150 million in tolls by speeding through those lanes and other lanes without having their EasyPass activated.
That's not hard to do. I mean, I remember going into New York City over that bridge on the Henry Hudson Parkway, right?
Uh-huh.
You know that thing, whatever it is, and it was 10 cents. I don't even know what it is now, but it's like $5.
Well, that
$4.
You know,
so it adds up. In other words, Joe, it adds up. Is my point.
But you bring up a great point, which is that's one of my issues with EasyPass is that you don't know how much you're paying when you're going through. You used to get the card and used to tell you, but if you don't have a card, you don't know.
You don't have your PIN number.
No. You can go online
and look and see how much it is.
But what is wrong with when you go through, they know where you started, they know where you ended, and they say...
Look at your statement. You get a statement every month.
Online.
Right,
online,
a month later.
And
All I'm asking is for a simple, or why wouldn't you say from each exit to exit, this is how much it is?
Okay, where do you want them to say that? The notion of EasyPass is to make it easy for people and
to pass
through and go faster instead of stopping, handing,
all know
handing a card and
yes.
money. So the only, you want it to come up on the screen?
No, by the way, there is a sign on that bridge which says how much it is.
Yeah.
There is.
Oh, yeah. It says,
well, on the bridges, but not on the individual. So if I get on at 23, exit 23.
After going gambling.
And right. and then get off at exit 17.
Okay.
Until I look at my statement, I do not know how much that is.
That's right, because it just says thank you.
Right.
EasyPass.
By the way, you got a compliment, Joe. I just want you to know. From Meg, who says, Dear Joe, thank you for pointing out the fact that the average citizen is unable to afford to attend major sporting events. And then at the bottom said, P.S., I'm with Alan. We have too many PIN numbers.
Yeah, well, that's also true.
True.
And that's another issue, if we're going to gripe about this stuff, is that the PIN number is, your PIN number at your bank is what, four digits,
four.
Right?
And the EasyPass is four.
Four digits in the EasyPass.
Mm-hmm.
But then on some of them, you have to have a capital letter, and then you have to have a numeric sign.
It gets worse. How many people have the same four for every single thing that they do from getting in the building.
I think that's let me tell you, for the federal government, because I pay my employee taxes online, it's a capitalization, it's a punctuation, it's over eight letters and numbers.
Yeah, and then insane. You have to ask a security question, which I also hate. It's like, what was your favorite color? I don't know.
Yeah,
it changes. Well, just decide what your favorite color is. Yeah.
Well, what's the name of your dog?
Right.
Yeah, they'll say, like, your first dog. And I'm like, well, I don't remember.
Don't have to be honest.
And what board game do you like?
I remember it the next time. See, that's the issue.
And what board game do you like?
Yeah. That's right.
Or where was your mother born?
Right. Did I say Scrabble?
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Well, that one I know.
Well, you do.
You don't?
Well, you know, Russian and all the rest of it. So
green. Say green.
Check, please.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with more show after this.